Did you know that Volkswagen makes more money on sales of sausages than they do on cars? We've got all sorts of fun facts and more coming up.
We got lots of info, let's rock and roll. It's Did You Know with Rhino.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Did You Know with Rhino. In case you didn't know, I'm Rhino, this is my show, and I know exactly what you're going to think. Was Ryan going to turn that into a dirty joke? The answer is, meh. Here at Did You Know with Ryan O, we are the podcast about all sorts of things relating to random pop culture references. We even got stuff about science. We got history. We got movie trivia. We even talk about agrostology, craniology, cryologically. We even talk about echohydrology, bacteriology, and all sorts of things that possibly end with an E, or in this case, a Y. And speaking of why are you doing this podcast alone? The answer is I am not. This week, my guest is a friend of mine who has all sorts of awesome insight into one of my favorite types of foods. Ladies and gentlemen, Leo Cal. Hello, sir. Welcome to the podcast. How are you today?
Good, and you?
I'm all right. It's been like at least a week since I've seen you.
Right?
So, like, how long exactly have you lived in Central Florida?
About, I would say, 13 years.
13 years. So that's like long enough to raise a couple of teenagers.
I have, yes.
And I'm sure
driving
each,
now, which is scary.
Oh, yikes. I'm sure each day is rewarding and also challenging simultaneously.
Yes, you balance your sanity wisely.
Do you at least get to, like, teach them the ins and outs of good food?
I do, yes. They actually have learned how to balance budget and food, where we go to restaurants and they know what plate is good, and they say, but this might be too much, and I say, go ahead and order that. So they know they have the good taste, because since I wasn't a foodie myself and learning, and you see right now we're cooked dinner and it's like the house smells wonderful, and it's just good that they're into that and starting to cook on themselves too
now. Do they also know the value of Taco Bell too?
They do. They do. They mostly go out actually for sushi.
Okay.
They do, or noodle bowls, noodle places. That's for them what Taco Bell was for us when we were growing up.
Right on.
Now it's a whole new plethora of places that they can go to for fast food, like Moe's or. Like I said, they're more onto Asian food, so they go to Bento and get bowls of noodles, and they started talking about noodles like I was like, what? So is that steak, pork, or tofu?
They're using different words that like you and I, like being bilingual, like we hear certain words like that. Like, what is this type of food?
Yes. Makes you hungry when they start talking about it. And actually, they learn where you just take a bag of ramen and put them in the water and then just add the little powder.
Okay.
They take that a step more. They just sometimes don't use the powder and start adding teriyaki, a little paprika. They make them themselves, which is good because it's not all those preservatives and that powder.
When you were younger, besides like the staple of a quick Taco Bell, what were some of the food places, like fast food joints, that you would frequent?
Well, Puerto Rico's a lot like growing up was a lot like Miami. So you had your McDonald's. So for running late to school, we'd stop at McDonald's and get a breakfast sandwich or a big breakfast. But in the afternoons, it was just Taco Bell, Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut back then was not what it is now.
Like, oh, it's totally different.
Yeah, before it was like a big saloon style with big pasta buffet or salad buffet. So it was more like, almost like a pizza version of Sizzlers or Ponderosa back then.
I miss the 90s aesthetic of the Pizza Huts where you could get a good pan pizza. Because way back in the day, if you read a book or enough books, you could get like special points and then you could end up getting free pan pizzas eventually.
Yes.
So it was a great incentive. Learn to read, eat more pizza.
Eat more pizza, yes. But a lot of the fast foods also were a big chicken place down there, which is, oddly enough, it looks shady here, but here it's good. But it's just like too few of them. It's Church's Chicken.
Oh, I've been to plenty of Church's Chickens all over the country.
Yes, the chicken breasts, you could just get full on there because the one chicken breast was the size of what, two, maybe three from KFC?
Oh, sure. Or at least like slightly bigger than Popeyes even.
Yes. Popeyes were there. Down there were maybe two of them. They were like just in the metro area. It wasn't a lot like now. Now it's all over the place too.
I remember going to Church's in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And over in, was it Kalamazoo, Michigan? Give me a second. I had to look this up right now. Let's see. Church's Chicken in Michigan.
And there, I don't know if that's the same all over the other churches, but their biscuits were delicious. And the last thing before coming over is you could order honey biscuits. So they would just take honey and just glaze it over the biscuit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have that. Also, their desserts, you could get the biscuits. And they said it's weird enough. They would put like a ball just with a soft ice cream right on top of the biscuit, you know, with your favorite syrup. So the biscuit flavor was so neutral that it can go with ice cream like a pound cake,
mm-hmm.
but it can go great with just honey.
Oh, sure. So looking it up, the other college towns, this is actually in downtown Detroit near Wayne State, their Church's Chicken had like the crispiest out of all of the ones I've ever been to. It was the one right in down. Oh, the nice background change. it was the one right near downtown, and it was the crispiest as opposed to going to one over in the Panhandle, where theirs was still just as flavorful, but it could have been whoever put it in their fryer put it in a little bit too long in Detroit.
Yeah, that timer might have been a couple of minutes. The alarm was a little, got 1 or 2 minutes more.
Hey, I'll take it extra crispy every time. Like when I go to Popeyes, I always get there spicy and I hope that it's crispy, but a lot of times I'll just go for the flavor.
Yeah. It's just, it's all, but when it's soggy, it doesn't have the same flavor when it's crispy.
Yeah.
But when it's a little over, those seasonings just tend to get a little bit more on the sour side. So it's just, they have to make it just right.
Oh yeah. And adding a little bit, because there's such thing as adding too much to it in order to like put it over the edge. Speaking of adding things, one of our most recent episodes here, we asked everybody on Facebook, as we do, if they could take a dessert and change it and augment it to make it in a more awesome dessert, what would they do? And we got three responses because it was like not that long ago. Someone said, add dates to a zucchini bread.
Pass.
We also got adding chocolate syrup and whipped cream to a chocolate almond ice cream.
I love almonds and chocolate. That sounds like it has a possibility.
And then there's another thing called chocolate thunder, which says just more ice cream.
Isn't that chocolate thunder from down under? Could that go with, was it Outback? I think it's Outback.
I think so. The Chocolate Thunder from down. Let's find out.
Yeah.
Chocolate Thunder from down under.
Yeah.
It's Outback.
Okay. I knew it was something. I heard that before. It's like. Yes, she's so bad.
So we got the description here. An extra generous pecan brownie is crowned with rich vanilla ice cream, drizzled with warm chocolate sauce, finished with chocolate shavings and whipped cream.
Yes. It was very delightful.
So if you could take any dessert and augment it to make it an even more ridiculous one, what would you do?
I would put warm fudge over. Okay. It's like my favorite dessert right now when we go out. It's brown. It's like brownie with hot fudge filling and the ice cream on top.
Okay.
But then you add more warm fudge on top.
Ooh.
So the brownie ends up soaking up some of the ice cream, actually. It just, the whole plethora of flavors. But if you want to really go, the hazelnut flavoring also.
Okay.
That just, with the almonds, it also makes it a little nuttier. And it's just,
What about like a caramel drizzle on top of that?
Depends on the brownie and the fudge, because if that's already too sweet, you might kick it over the sweetness side and just hide some of the flavor of the brownie with the chocolate. You know, so, and also the brownie, if it's nice and crunchy, it's like the crust on it, it's better than just a chocolate cake, you know?
Right on. So I decided that if I were to take like a soft, thick chocolate chip cookie, put chocolate ice cream with another thick chocolate chip cookie on top, and then drizzle all that with hot caramel, hot fudge, and a whole bunch of nuts.
For sure, because there you have more flavoring with the my son's trying to peek in. Oh, there's Bolo.
Howdy.
Howdy. He's saying howdy.
Hey.
Yeah.
I'm going to go upstairs to my work. Have fun.
Who are you talking to?
They're gone. Backdrop hides them. With the chocolate chip cookies and with the ice cream, you have more flavor to it. So adding the caramel there, it's like a caramel chocolate chip cookie plus the fudge. So that is totally worth trying too.
Or like taking Reese's and doing anything, because I love Reese's.
Oh, that's, and peanut butter too. Warm peanut butter. I once had from Uno's, Pizzeria Uno's.
Mm-hmm.
They had their all-American apple pie. It's like a mug, and it's like apple pie, warm apple pie in a mug with ice cream mixed in. So it was just a whole apple pie with the works. Mm. And so that anything that's warm, like warm peanut butter also, depending on the dessert, with vanilla ice cream. Like you said, I went to Dairy Queen. I love getting their Reese's Blizzard. And before they had like a peanut butter flavor for the ice cream, it was like the ultimate Reese's. So it had the cups and the Reese's pieces.
Mm.
So it was just really good, and they did away with it. So it's just the Reese's ice cream.
Some people think that there's such thing as too much Reese's, but I don't think so.
No, chocolate and peanut butter on anything is just,
except for cheese. Awesome. You can't put them on cheese.
No. I looked at doing an equation, and no.
Well, speaking of cheese and speaking of food and whatnot, you've got a history of working in the food industry in Puerto Rico.
Yes. Yes.
So go ahead and tell these folks what you used to do back in the day.
Back in the day, I was born and raised in a pizzeria/restaurant that was open 24/7, 365. In the tourist district in San Juan. So it was pizzeria, restaurant, breakfast joint, anything. So we were right next to a hospital. So we had hearty food. Two blocks up was the government buildings for the municipality, which oddly enough, also fun fact, that's where they recorded Fast Five. That's part of the buildings that they're stealing the vault out of.
Nice.
So it turned from doing just breakfasts for everybody that was coming in from the hospital or going to the government building to big lunches that people, we had like a set menu Monday through Friday, and just doing pizzeria mostly in the afternoons and evenings.
So what's the third shift like at a pizza place like that?
Third shift is, well, starting, it's a lot. We had a lot of people that would just stay. We had, for example, it would just transition. It felt like just different transitions from one shift to the other. Because in the afternoons, we had the San Juan, like, arts, like the arts building, mm-hmm. For the concert hall was up the street. Bellas Artes is called in Spanish. But that place, the symphonic orchestra, we were like their go-to place. So every time they had a concert or they had practice, they would end up there, and some of them would take their instruments.
Okay.
So and play and stuff. But we got to the point with them that every time they had an activity, they would come to us. So on the National Day of the Symphonic Orchestra, basically, or National Symphonic Orchestra Day, my mom would just do like a whole cookout, like roasted pork, rice and pigeon peas or arroz con gandules, just go all out, and they really appreciate it. And like that, we had different groups that they patron our place. So after the like third shift, like for example, after 4 o'clock in the morning, when all the casinos closed, a lot of the employees, the casino, the croupiers, the casino employees, uh-huh. that's where they would go and until 4 or 5 in the morning. So not 4 or 5, that's when they got there. Sun up, 8, 9. There's still some of them are still there, you know.
And what sort of pizza do you make, or like around that time?
Hell, they wanted from anything from regular cheese to, I had one guy that became a mayor of one of the older towns. He always liked a pepperoni and anchovies. But people like combinations, which was just everything on it, basically like the works.
Mm-hmm.
So we wouldn't make a whole pizza. We would start like they do in some of the restaurants here, that they would take a cheese pizza or a pepperoni pizza and just add the condiments, more cheese on top, bake it, and that all just flavors everything out.
That's like I'm just trying to put into my head, like when I was eating pizza at 2 o'clock in the morning, its main reason was to try to absorb all sorts of evils that was already in my liver.
Oh, but the thing is, they kept drinking, so we had to red light them at some points. But they just, you know, between the hard liquor, the beer, the pizza, that's when they stay up to people starting ordering breakfast.
And you guys also did like a breakfast type of pizza too?
No, I mean, back then there was not a lot of, if you count bacon, which you, oddly enough, Brian O doesn't like bacon.
That's true.
there was no request for like you go like Cici's Pizza here and they have like a mac and cheese pizza, you know,
or like a giant egg on a pizza or some like hash browns on a pizza.
No, for that they went hearty. They had the I did a lot of cheeseburgers with an egg. Like now they're popular. You go to like Denny's and stuff and you see burgers, you know, and even 2J's or TJ's is the other microbrewery place that has burgers and stuff. Mm-hmm. They do eggs in burgers now. So it's like, oh, you know, that caught on after so many years.
Nice. But if it were back then, I bet you would have had a breakfast pizza just for those 5 a.m. dudes.
And some of them might have forgotten it after they woke up after getting home.
Oh, you know? Sure.
It's like, I ate what? You know, but
anchovies, really?
Yeah, yeah. We always had some anchovies on hand because there was it was a thing. Choices
were made. Well, speaking of choices, right now we have to hear from our sponsor, and we'll be right back to hear about all sorts of other choices and a lot of pizza right after this.
Did you know with Rhino?
While you're listening to this ad, I'd like you to look down. Now look back up. Are you wearing an awesome shirt that says Team Rhino? Or a shirt with a duck with a cup spilled over that says party foul? Are you also wearing a really cool button that says Did You Know with Rhino? Or a hat that says Team Rhino? Or I know Rhino? Well, if you're not doing any of those things, you should be. And you can do so by going to Zazzle.com/store/DidYouKnowWithRhino. That's right, folks. I have my own merchandise shop, and you can buy all sorts of amazing awesomeness pertaining to this podcast and show your love by once again going to Zazzle.com/store/DidYouKnowWithRhino. Wear it, share it, love it. And now back to our show.
Did You Know With Rhino?
Alrighty. So what were some of the fun things that you've learned about like people's taste in pizza while working there?
It's a lot of things that make you go, really? Well, the anchovies, I don't do anchovies. But I think the one time I did try it, I liked it because somebody asked for it. It was like hamburger bits on a pizza. So we grilled the burger,
okay,
too, cut that up and put it. So it was like ground beef, but it's flavored as a burger.
Sure.
So, but it was just like normal.
Like a little bit like Worcestershire and some like salt and pepper and whatnot.
Yeah. It had a weird flavor to it, but weird in the good. You know, it was like, oh, this is new.
Because some people already add onions to pizza, so like it already has like that onioniness to the meat.
Yes, and we used to use garlic powder and a little bit of garlic of onion powder as well. Just mostly around the crust.
Sure.
So the garlic powder, we made the pizza garlic, even the cheese pizza, the plain cheese and pep. We would just make the pizza and just sprinkle garlic powder to it, and that made it zest. Especially since our pizza sauce was homemade, everything. So it was a unique flavor to start with. And that's why we were around for almost 29 years before we decided to sell and come over.
Right on. So what would you say was like your like favorite pizza that you would make? Like flavor-wise.
Flavor-wise, the combination. Our combination pizza, which was just diced up, it had mushrooms, onions, pepper, a bit of tomato bits. We had pepperoni on it. And once in a while, we would, if we had a ham also, and it's the regular ham that you buy, like the cooked ham for sandwiches.
Uh-huh.
That's the one that we use. We didn't go with any fancy ham or anything or smoked or anything.
Okay.
And that mainly, it was just, you had to make it just right. Because if you open the pizza, because it was hand-pressed pizza dough, if you open it too thin, the ingredients would start releasing water, moisture.
Mm-hmm.
And that would just make the pizza dough just unusable when you took it out, because we put it in a metal grate, cook it. It's like, I think Valdiano's does it still like that. We put it in a mesh, and when it gets to a certain point, we remove the mesh, and that finishes cooking on the bottom.
Okay.
So sometimes if it releases too much moisture, it would just get stuck to the mesh.
And that's because of all the chemicals like working together, like that little combination with.
Yeah, all the water coming out of the mushrooms, the onions, the peppers, that would just, and a little bit of the oil from the pepperoni, all of that would just make the pizza dough not fully cook if it was too thin. It was just turn it into just.
I had a similar experience when I was making pretzels for my first batch.
Yeah.
There was just all sorts of random elements about like dipping them in and getting them like boiled into their like baking soda bath. And,
yeah.
And that sort of chemical reaction didn't do too well with my, with my mixture. Like it must've been in there for too long or not long enough.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And then as soon as I dropped it in there, I used a shallow pan as opposed to a deep pot. And yeah. So it went in, and there was a giant explosion like all over my
stove. And then you had to kind
stove.
Of flip it because it was shallow?
Yep.
Yeah.
And yep. The moment it went in there, the chemical reaction just bubbled all over and fizzed out over the pot.
Oh, like Mentos and Coke type of deal?
Exactly. it was ridiculous. So what sort of like mistakes and mishaps do you think that people do most often when they're making pizzas?
Well, now in the age that a lot of people pick up their phone and download recipes, it's been easier now. And the type of utensils you can buy just to make your own pizza at home has gotten more elaborate, more easy to at the same time easy to make at home a pizza. But the one mistake I would say is just the oven has to be at a right temperature. If it's too low, it starts not cooking too much. And then you end up with a weird pizza that when you realize what's going on, that it's too low, you crank it up. Then it just, it's like a flashpoint. It just overcooks it so quick.
And it's hard to tell probably because everyone's oven is differently. So like 500 degrees on one is different than 500 degrees on another.
Correct. And not put the racks right in the middle. Sometimes they'll put it too high, overcook the top, not cooked enough of the bottom, or too low where they burn the bottom and then the top is still like not melted enough.
It's too like doughy up like in the top part of the crust.
Yeah. And the oven too hot will just, like you said, doughy, the dough won't be, it's like a badly cooked pan pizza. You know, the middle will be just stretchy like the insides of a pretzel,
which I like the insides of a pretzel, but not really on my pizza.
Not on the pizza, no. It just the flavor is not there for that.
Have you ever had pizza with a pretzel crust?
I have. I wasn't too fond of it because I'm not that fond of pretzels to start with. So it just has to be like the right amount of pretzel and sea salt. But on a pizza with all the combining flavors of the toppings, it just didn't. Maybe on a pretzel bun for a burger, yeah. But when you have tomato sauce, a lot of the ingredients on there are lean to the, depending on how they make the pizza sauce, tend to be on the sweet side. And when you have a salty pretzel, it's just not that sweet, salty taste you expect.
Especially with the sauce. There are some people who their sauce is already sweet. So when you have like a sweet sauce and the super saltiness and butteriness of the pretzel together, I was not a fan either.
No, because marinara sauce lends itself for that. But a lot of people just like some of the fast food pizzas, that's their red sauce from the pizza is just marinara sauce. Where our pizza sauce, when we used to make it, it was basically crushed by us, crushed tomatoes, tomato paste, oregano, salt, black pepper, and sugar. So our pizza sauce was sugary, was sweet.
Now,
go ahead.
Did you use the same sauce as like a dipping sauce for like a side item? Like you guys make breadsticks and whatnot?
No, we didn't do breadsticks. Oddly enough, our pizza was not are a lot of, we didn't have like breadsticks request, because a lot of our pizza was, pizzeria was in that niche where we didn't deliver, we didn't have a delivery service. Everybody that wanted delivery would just go fast food style pizza.
Sure.
They came to us for home style pizza, basically. Like when you go to like Valdiano, well, now Valdiano's, now with all these services like Grubhub and stuff, they'll have deliveries when they didn't used to. We could have probably done that this time around, because they take all the liabilities and everything, where before we didn't trust anybody with it, unless it was one of our, like, I don't want to say VIP guests, but it was someone that we knew really well.
Yeah.
Just might have just driven, you know, a couple of miles down the road and just take it to them if they were tied up.
So then I was just thinking, because like, so tonight I am making my own sauce because I have my own recipe for pepperoni bagel twists.
Ooh.
It's less bagel, more crescent roll, because I use their stuff because I'm too lazy. So I use a crescent roll dough and I twist it all, or I flatten it and fill it with cheese and pepperoni. Then I roll it back up.
You just roll it up. Yep.
And then I take like a little bit of garlic or garlic powder and some melted butter, and I run it on top. Then I put it in the oven, and then like halfway through, put the butter on top, and then put some
Just keep it moist. Yep.
And then I put some Parmesan at the very end as well. And I have a dipping sauce, which is pretty much every single thing that you've just described as your sauce, minus the sugar. So I'm wondering if I should add sugar or not to my dipping sauce.
Add it to taste. Start with a little bit, mix, try, and see to what point you get it that you find it your own, to make it your own. Not too sweet, but not just a red sauce.
Is it true that, or is it an old wives' tale, that the longer you cook a sauce, the more flavor it gets?
It's more of an old wives' tale. Depends on how much water the sauce has to start with. Because when you heat it up, when you start cooking it on with time, it just starts reducing. So it just depends. Like, for example, if you, Alfredo sauce, if you cook it too much, it just turns into red sauce in a sort of way, because it just burns the cream. And if you nuke it, if you're nuking for some reason, when you reheat pasta or pizza that has Alfredo sauce, it just turns into olive oil. It just, the cream just goes into the atmosphere or something, because it disappears. You just end up with oil.
Which is not something you, well, sometimes you want to dip stuff into, because I know a lot of these Italian places have oil with some like oregano and some red peppers and whatnot. So it could work.
Yep. Yeah. Even what was it? The other Macaroni Grill, I think, does that too. That you throw on, they throw olive oil and then they start crushing red pepper, black pepper, not black pepper, like an oregano pesto base into it. And it depends. It, well done, it's really good.
Right on. So nowadays, what would you say is your ideal pizza?
It's my ideal pizza, like a pizza place, pizza joint.
Or like if you had to build the perfect pizza with like what would be like flavor wise your ideal pizza?
It can be anything simple, from like a cream based, which is more usually like an Alfredo flavor, or if not like a cream garlicky cream, but at least a white sauce with chicken and bacon and some onions. Red onions thrown on there, or it can be some more elaborate, like a nice meat lover's pizza.
Okay. And what sort of crust do you normally like?
Traditional hand tossed.
Okay.
You can't trust too many places with a thin crust, because you order it and it's either overcooked, or by the time, if it's like a delivery, if you order delivery thin crust, if the place is too far away, like in the border of your area where they deliver, by the time the thin crust gets here, it's soggy.
Yeah.
So you wanna, I usually just go hand tossed, because I also found out that some of the places that do like the pan pizza style, they just grease up their molds too much. They've gone away from that. Pizza Hut used to put like so much oil in their molds that the pizza was greasy. Like even on the box or the plate when you ate it, when they brought it to you in Pizza Hut, if you remember the old days, they would bring it like in a mold and you eat the pizza from the pan where they cooked it.
Oh, yes.
And you could see the oil in there. To where Domino's, I think they used to use more of a powdery substance. It wasn't flour, but it was like yellowish, like cornmeal, I want to say, to not have it stick to their molds. It used to be like a granular yellowy stuff.
Oh yeah, I remember that stuff. And I used to think that it added a little bit more interesting flavor to their crust too.
Yes, but I think I was done wrong at an early age with pan pizza and the way it was cooked, to the point where it's only has to be like a special, probably like going to, not Uno's, but like even Domino's, it's gotten better. I'll give you that. But Flippers is, I think, one place where their pizza is almost on par with what we used to do.
Right on.
It's like a mix between Uno, like Flippers and Valdiano's.
So for all of you out there, if you want to taste like one of a pizza that Leo could have made, go to Flippers, he says.
Actually, no, more Valdiano's. If you have a Valdiano's near you, it's all, I know there's a few over Orlando, in Baldwin Park, it got renamed Bella Luna. But that's how we used to do it, like opening the pizza dough and everything. It's not your run of the mill. Actually, to a certain point, Lazy Moon is pretty good too. I can't complain about Lazy Moon, except you need a big cart to carry the 30-inch pie.
Oh sure, because it's a gigantic pizza.
Yes, great for family gatherings.
So speaking of pizza, which is what we've been talking about for most of this episode, I have a little bit of history about the subject. And so I'm going to quiz you, my local expert. So how many slices of pizza do you think the United States eats every second?
The answer would not be numerically. It would be more like not enough.
Well, that's a great answer.
That's a great answer. Nobody eats enough pizza.
Numerically, we eat about 100 acres of pizza every day.
Dang.
Yep, about 350 slices every second.
Ouch.
So
many people having bad pizza too. And those numbers, I feel bad for some of them.
Which I've done. I've had a terrible pizza before, and it was, I've talked about it multiple times on this podcast. I don't like pizza in St. Louis. So here we go. Out of all the Americans that eat pizza, what percentage do you think do so at least once a month?
At least once a month?
Yep. What percentage of Americans?
It's got to be like in the 80, close to 90%.
So give me a random number, somewhere around there.
Random number. 87-ish?
Super close, 93%.
Wow, so yeah, I was between 80 and... Yeah. Pizza's one of those things, you know, it's a staple in every state, every town. You know, you got to have a pizza joint, you know?
And there's a whole bunch all over the world, too. In fact, there are so many things, like you talked about, like anchovies and stuff. There's so many different different toppings and whatnot that people enjoy that might be ridiculous and crazy that we don't think about. So that being said, how much do you think, given how much toppings could cost, or the most ridiculous toppings, how much do you think the most expensive pizza in the world costs?
Given that some people pay ridiculous amount of money for a pair of shoes, mm-hmm. or for a wallet, or just simple stuff, I wouldn't be surprised if you see like a $200 pizza.
I'm going to tell you, it's higher than four digits.
Okay, that's just absurd. It's just going to go in the toilet after a few hours, you know?
Uh-huh.
Too graphic. Yeah. It's just, that's, yeah, it's, well, depending on the ingredients, I still don't visualize a pizza. You could make the judgment. You can make the, not the judgment, you can make the argument for a piece of steak,
uh-huh.
You know, a H piece of steak, a Kobe steak, or, you know, but for pizza, you know, how good of a flour they start with.
Well,
is it
based on the ingredients here? It says they have three different types of caviar, lobster from Norway, Salento, buffalo mozzarella cheese, and grains of pink Australian sea salt from the Murray River.
That just sounds like a used car salesman trying to peddle their stuff. You know, they're trying to. I mean, it's not even.
How can you enjoy stuff like that?
You can't. You know, by the time if it's one of those persons that just take a bite and just swirls it around their mouth trying to find the flavor of the, you know, like a wine taster. You're trying to figure out the flavor of the caviar with the salmon. It's like,
but the caviar is probably going to taste the same as other ones.
Really? Yeah.
Feel like it, or like the pink salt. What's that going to do? It's $12,000, Leo.
No, that's just sad. I mean, I was going to say, do they, when they mix the dough or the pizza, do they use Fuji water? You know,
probably.
Evian.
Or they bathe it in like Cristal or something like that?
Something like that. The oven has to be incredible because to be able to share pizza with a cheap pizza.
So I got a few more here. A poll was taken in January of 2016 about the most popular pizza topping.
Where did they take it? They took it from a poll was taken. Where did they
of
take
America?
Okay,
no, it was taken somewhere in America. I don't know. We might have to find like Liam Neeson in order to get it back. But so, what do you think is the most popular pizza topping?
Other than cheese. Well, everybody just it's either pepperoni or sausage.
So it is number one, pepperoni, followed by sausage as number two.
Aha! See?
Nice work. The world's biggest pizza.
I was going to say Lazy Moon. Commercial pizza is Lazy Moon by far.
Oh, sure. I once tried a Piezilla, which was like 32 inches.
It beat it by 2 inches. Wait, it's Lazy Moon 30, right? I think it's 30.
Let's see if I go in here. Piezilla. Zilla 5-star. So the Piezilla 5-star is, yikes, I'm blind. My computer just switched from like daytime to nighttime. Specialty pizza. Anyways, Piezilla, it's huge. I can't find it on the website. So I'm gonna say that your moon pizza is gonna be bigger.
Let me see if I can open it up on the second screen. Piezilla?
Yep. Piezilla size. Oh, sorry. 24 inch is their Piezilla.
So Lazy Moon's 30 is bigger.
Bigger. But the biggest pizza that's out there was made in Italy, in Rome. Jeez, I'm just going to tell you.
I've had pizza there. I just wanted to get it out of the way when we went to Rome in, that was 90. What year was this? That was 90. The year that Oscar de la Hoya beat, or Tito Trinidad beat Oscar de la Hoya. And that's another contentious subject because Tito Trinidad just ran around the ring.
Oh, sure. So this pizza was big enough that you could fit inside a mall, 13,000 square feet.
Well, and I'm pretty sure that the townspeople were glad to eat also, because that's a lot of pizza to put away.
And so finally, for our pizza trivia, what is the outer edge of the pizza called? There's a technical term for crust. What is it called?
A technical term for crust? Can we just call it crust? Or it's just the same. It's just unseasoned pizza. If you want to get technical, because it's pizza without any topping. It's just dough.
So this technical term is cornicone.
Cornicone?
Yeah, corne sione, or the end crust. Cornicione. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, man.
I'll just go with the crust.
Just crust sounds good.
Yeah, because if you try to say stuffed cornicione, you know, it just doesn't roll together. You know, do you have some dipping sauce for my cornicione? No. You're what?
Yeah. What are you trying to sell me, dude?
Bless you. No, but yeah. No, but 1999, I went to Rome and I had pizza in front of the main train station, and I went with a margarita because that's the typical, you know, just cheese, a tomato slice, and sauce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had your cheese, a piece of tomato, a piece of bufalo mozzarella, and a basil leaf on top of each slice, and it was tasty. It's not. That place, at least it was packed. It wasn't as flavorful as we make it. It was more of a snack. It was just, you know, grab and go. It wasn't like, I can feel the flavor of the sauce. No, it was just, you know, they don't put as much, at least there in that place, they didn't put as much into like we do on this side, where we have to make it better. Bigger, you know,
and compete against everybody there. It's just a simple flavor, you know.
Plus, we started it started in the U.S. and then it started over there, supposedly. Supposedly,
you know, your grandfather's grandfather's grandfather claims that he was the first one to do it, and then no, his best friend claimed that he wanted to do it, and then they fight and feud for 300 years, and your family still does it back. It's like the Hatfields and McCoys all over again,
yep. It's like in Puerto Rico, it's the original place that they first made the piña colada. It wasn't Cuba, it wasn't Miami, it was Puerto Rico. And there's the big building that still has the big plaque on in front of it. And I got to, before they closed it, I got to have a piña colada there, and it was tasty. I'm pretty sure it wasn't as the original one, but it tasted good.
Right on.
Yeah.
So with all that said, mm-hmm. we are now coming towards the end of this magical episode.
Dun, dun.
So as we normally do, now that we've reached this lovely part about our discussion, I always have my guests create the question of the week that will be answered online. So what do you think, based on the subject that we've talked about,
yes.
What do you think the question of the week should be?
Last one was related to desserts.
Yes.
Right? This one might be like a two-part question. What would be your ultimate pizza? And what would be something you never want to have on a pizza? Like, if you go on a date and your date orders a pizza, at what point do you say, I don't want that? Or can that be just half on the pizza?
Oh,
or,
sure.
You know, what you don't want to ever have on a pizza, like you wouldn't have bacon.
I would not have bacon or eggs on a pizza. That's true.
Or green eggs and ham.
Or fish. Just don't put that on my pizza.
It's correct. And what would be the ultimate pizza?
The ultimate pizza. So like, and for me, the ultimate pizza usually is from Jets or Buddy's, which is, you know, the great Detroit style. And I like the combination of meatball, pepperoni, and chicken.
Yes.
So that's going to be the question of the week for our listeners. If you'd like to respond to the question of the week, you can do so by checking us out on Facebook, Did You Know with Ryan O. You can also check us out on Twitter at Did You Know Ryan O, or shoot us an email, didyouknowryano@gmail.com. Leo, thank you very much for joining us on this awesome discussion.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been my absolute pleasure.
Yeah. I'm hungry now.
I am hungry too. I think I'm about to go enjoy a grilled cheese, probably pizza sandwich in just a few minutes.
I'm going to just grab another pork chop.
You should. Well, thanks again. And for those of us here, to those of you out there, we hope that you find your awesome, hold on to it, and share it with the world. I've been Ryan O, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. Did you know it, Ryan O? Did you know it?